Sacktown Sports.
Check us out on YouTube. Search Sacktown Sports and subscribe.
Here you go, Chris, as we get ready for some NFL talk. Then we'll get right back into Kings.
That's right.
Terrell Suggs.
T-Sizzle?
Reportedly.
Ball So Hard University?
Okay.
You don't remember all that? That was great.
Well, let me read this first.
Okay, yeah.
Terrell Suggs reportedly pulled a gun out.
Okay, why would you let me say all that?
You didn't give me a chance. I'm like, hold on there, buddy. You're like, that's my boy. I ride for Terrell. Terrell Suggs reportedly pulled a gun out and threatened to kill a man in an argument while at Starbucks.
It keeps getting worse.
Per TMZ Sports, the man swore at Suggs before the ex-NFL superstar challenged him to a fight. The former Baltimore Ravens pass rusher allegedly then called him a bleep, bleep, bleep before adding, I'll kill your bleep, bleep.
Oh, okay. Well, not my guy. Definitely not my guy. Can't reiterate that enough that I've never been a I've never even called him by a Terrell Suggs fan. That's ridiculous. How does that pop off at a Starbucks? Also, who's picking a fight with Terrell Suggs? I don't know if you've seen him, but that man's like 95% neck, and he's one of those who, like, yeah, you bump into him at the club and you're just sorry, man. Not that I at all. Also, why is Terrell Suggs pulling a gun on somebody? He's huge.
Well,
he's massive, brother. Like, if you got a problem with somebody, I think you could handle. I would much rather you handle it yourself than pull out a weapon there.
And the jokes are just ridiculous because it was at a Starbucks. People talking about the order being wrong and all over.
They called him Terrell instead of Terrell.
Yeah, the joke. And obviously, this isn't a funny situation. I mean, you're pulling a gun on somebody, and I don't know how you find yourself into these
pretty tough
positions. But there is one answer, and we don't really talk about this on the show very much. But there's one answer, and it rhymes with, you know, PG&E. You know what I mean? So it's whatever you want to take from that. But yeah, that just came out and it's pretty wild.
Yeah, that's pretty insane. Did it say where it happened? Not that it really matters, but like, I know he went to ASU. He obviously played for the
It was in Arizona. I believe in Arizona. Yeah, and yeah, it's out right now. Terrell Suggs allegedly brandished gun, threatened to kill a man during Starbucks tiff.
Weather gets hot and people start getting hot.
Yeah, that is what is going around now. Okay. So
not my guy.
Glad everybody's safe, and hopefully Terrell Suggs gets the help he needs. Going around the sports world as well, Chris. For the first time in history, the NCAA women's basketball title game drew more viewers than the men's, 18.9 million to 14.8. Not even really close.
No. Whole 4 mil is pretty significant. I mean, that's, you know, I know, you know, it's probably not, you know, I think that this is a pretty specific Caitlin Clark situation. Like, I would be pretty surprised if next year's national championship brought in 17 million viewers. But at the same time, I think it's a proof of concept that there's no reason why, you know, that you can't market that game the same that you would market the NCAA game. I do think, you know, you proposed the other day, like, could you kind of parlay those two games to make sure that you just get a big viewing audience? I think that's a decent idea. I wonder if, you know, networks would say it's better for us to have two nights of big numbers than just one mega night. But I still think that that's a really good idea that, to me, it would make it as close to like a basketball Super Bowl as you could get. Like I could imagine how people would turn that into, you know, definitely not as big as the Super Bowl, but it would definitely be a sporting event on the calendar where you could really like get people together, make a whole day of it. And it puts college on a big stage, which don't think
like
is
a Super Bowl type.
Yeah.
It's just all the championships are on one day.
Yeah.
And I don't know, maybe that would help with how I said yesterday it didn't feel as exciting as the rest of the tournament. It felt a little lackluster. It's on a random Monday. Yeah. Even though we had a great time out there at Fieldhouse American Sports Pub, it would have been really cool to have it all on one day.
Yeah.
And really just, hey, here's the culmination of everything that both sides, the men's and women's, has been working towards. It's all on one day, Sunday, national championship.
And think about that the version of that halftime performance. Like, in between games, one of the locations, you just, like, for a college crowd, too, like, you know, I mean, you could definitely lean a little bit, you know, where the Super Bowl is kind of going for, you know, the Princes, the Usher, you know, the all-encapsulating.
Yeah.
You could go a little bit more trendy,
Baby,
you know?
Or somebody like that.
Maybe not him, but, like, you know, you could do... Our boy Jack Harlow.
Yeah, Jack Harlow would go crazy.
He's like so perfect. He's literally kind of event.
He's literally built for it. So shout out to
Young
the,
Jack.
Yes, shout out to women's basketball holding it down, first time in history, and possibly not the last. And you said, now, you know, not to go too far here, but you said you saw some. You saw some comments saying, or it was from Mr. Beast.
Mr. Beast, the biggest YouTuber on the planet. Caitlin Clark tweeted out the viewership number, 18.7 million, and Mr. Beast, who is like the biggest influencer of people who are probably under college and, you know, all of those elementary kids and high school kids.
I had
kids.
To be taught about the Mr. Beasts of the world and the speeds and the...
Oh, yeah.
The Kai Cenats, all of them.
All that. Mr. Beast. Except Mr. Beast is at the tippy top of all of those people. So he commented on Caitlin's post and said, we might witness a WNBA Finals get more views than an NBA Finals in our lifetime.
Huh.
And I'm a huge WNBA supporter. Obviously, just the women's college game has been fantastic, but I don't know if it'll get to that. I think it would take Caitlin a couple years in the league, maybe building like a real story towards something, but I don't know if we'll get to the point. And I know we just saw the women's college final break every basketball game of the past 5 years, so it happened, but I don't know if the W is at that level yet.
The only way, honestly...
Because you get March Madness built in. Like, March Madness is bigger beast than anything, no pun intended, a much bigger beast than anything else that basketball has going on.
The only way I could see that possible is if Caitlin Clark ends up being close to what she was in college.
Right.
Which a lot of people do not think she will
Diana
be.
Diana Taurasi included.
Diana Taurasi. And that remains to be seen. On top of that, I will say, to be completely honest with you, I would feel more confident in that happening if it wasn't for, and we'll see what happens with him, Victor Wembanyama. I mean, the NBA has their guy.
That's true.
And if the Spurs do what they need to do, we know, you know, great ownership, they're going to put the pieces around him. With Victor Wembanyama, I think that they got their next dude.
Yeah.
And Luka, it could be Luka. We're kind of doing, if they are unable to find a face.
Yeah.
Of the NBA after LeBron and Curry are gone, I think there's a chance.
Yeah.
But I think that they will find a face. It might not be Tatum. Mm-hmm. It might not be some of these other guys. It might not be Ja.
Yeah.
Right? It might not be Anthony Edwards. But there's so many options that could pop for the NBA right now. Could be Luka. Could be Wemby.
Could
be the guys
both.
I just said.
I mean, you could know they're both in the same conference now. But, like, you know, if it's a Wemby-Luka final.
Right.
That's not just America. Like, that's international. You're getting French audience. You're getting Luka audience.
So
I
think because of that, and that changes the timeline because Caitlin would essentially be done.
Right.
By the timelines just probably wouldn't add up.
Right.
Unless Caitlin cooks and for some reason Wemby just can't get to the finals.
Right.
If it's just some bummy finals in the NBA, meanwhile Caitlin
is
cooking, then I think it's possible. 925 says Clark versus Reese final might do it. Maybe
a couple of years down the line. I think they would have to establish themselves
again,
both.
And you know women's basketball better than I. Mm-hmm. Angel Reese, she's not even projected top five.
No, not top five.
If she's just a role player now, if she's essentially Dylan Brooks without injuring people for WNBA, I don't know how that pops.
Right.
Because when it was Warriors Grizzlies, Dylan Brooks was a great piece to have, but it was Ja.
Yeah.
So maybe is it Sabrina Ja, and then you get just Angel on the team just annoying people.
Right.
Angel isn't, from what I've understood based on the...
No, she's not like a crazy prospect. I mean, she's really, really solid, but she's not like, you know, Cardoso is supposed to go number two, number three.
Maybe get Cardoso.
Yeah, no, Cameron Brink is somebody who's really, really good, has a big following as well. Maybe Angel Reese. I mean, Asia Wilson's fantastic. Maybe it is just kind of like a rookie versus or a young player versus this dynasty that's potentially being built. That's maybe a storyline that intrigues people. I think the bigger point is they have to find another story. They have to find who's Caitlyn's
storyline.
Who's Caitlyn's Joker? That's what they need to find. They have their hero figure. Or is Caitlyn going to be the villain? Or, that's the thing, too. Yeah. Like, Bron turned into a villain, worked just as well for the NBA.
Yeah.
If Caitlyn starts going on a crusade and saying, like, all these people hating on me, like, they thought, you know, it's if these AI, I don't know if you've seen these AI videos of Caitlyn talking trash to people.
Cannot say them on
air.
It's
insane.
Yeah.
So, but if those AI videos start to become true a little bit, like, that's, I think, you know, Diana Taurasi is a bit of a hard ass. Like, if Caitlyn kind of takes on that persona, maybe it helps the WWE.
I don't think it will do it. I think the NBA would definitely have to be in a not
great place.
It would be a bad
fumbling situation.
But probably. I feel like if Vegas turns into the Warriors, which they're essentially a super team, but if it's Vegas, Indiana, and people just want to see Caitlyn take down
those
the machine.
Are counter opposite locations also. Yeah. Vegas and Indiana.
Play every game in Vegas. No disrespect. To whatsoever. Indiana, maybe do that as well. When we return, continuing the conversation, also Malik Nabers had some things to say on Instagram, and Dante Whitner complaining about the Super Bowl still. Really, he reminds me of a neighbor. I have a neighbor who still has, there's a Santa that's holding onto the balcony, blowing in the wind.
Come on.
And it's April.
Yeah, come
and every
on.
Time
that's
I
ridiculous.
See it, I say, I'm going to knock on the door and say, can you take that down, please? That's please. Dante Whitner still talking about the Super Bowl. Sounds and Watkins, Sacktown Sports. Yeah, I don't know what's going on, Chris, but we have Ben McLemore, former Kings player. I don't know if you saw this.
Ben McLemore? No, I haven't seen Ben McLemore's name in years.
Ben McLemore was arrested Tuesday and booked into the Clackamas County Jail on accusations of first-degree rape and other sex crimes.
Oh, my God.
Is this show turning into former Purple pro players going to jail?
I don't.
Terrell Suggs and McLemore.
It's just
that's really surprising.
This is crazy. Obviously, terrible, terrible. Yeah, that's in, I believe, Portland, Oregon, or that area. Mm. That's where the news source was.
Chris, correct me if I'm wrong, but he went to Houston after sack, right?
And then he went a bunch of places, but yeah.
Oh yeah, I think I saw him on the Sixers.
Yeah, he was on the Sixers. He was on the Blazers for a minute. He was all over.
Yeah, did he go play overseas?
Maybe. I don't think so. I don't think he ever did. I actually saw him at Summer League, I think like 2 years ago, and that was literally he was just randomly standing behind us on the concourse at Summer League a couple years ago, and that was the last time I saw or thought about Ben McLemore.
Interesting.
That is terrible. Yeah, I mean, that's really, really
that's
terrible.
Awful.
I know he came up from a really, really bad situation too, so the fact that, you know, he had this opportunity in the NBA to kind of turn his life around, like, and I'm talking like Ben McLemore's story was just terribly tragic, like as poor as you can get. You know, I can't remember if it was him or Thomas Robinson that was literally like having to collect rainwater outside to take showers, and to have an opportunity. I mean, I'm looking at Ben's career here: 5 seasons in Sac, 2 in Houston, 1 in Portland, 1 in Memphis, 1 in LA. He was in the league for about 9 years. And so I know he collected enough money to really change his life. It's just really disappointing that he had a great opportunity here. And you know, I think it happens a lot, not just in sports, but in life. Like, you have an opportunity to kind of get out of your situation and, you know, you hope it all works out. But I think this is kind of, you know, obviously doesn't have to be ending this tragically. But I think sometimes, like, this is what happens when you go back to some of your old habits. And not saying that this was an old habit of his, but I think definitely, like, you know, he just didn't quite change his life, clearly, after all that time in the league, after all that opportunity I'm sure he's got. That's just really, really terrible to hear.
Yeah, so that just came out not too long ago. That came out, looks like, an hour or so ago. So we'll see. How that, not how you want to hear a former King's name, but that is what is happening with Ben McLemore. Let's get to Malik Nabers now, future NFL wide receiver, who is on Instagram Live with Jaden Daniels, future NFL quarterback. For who yet, we don't know, but Malik Nabers has some ideas on what might happen and who might be a running buddy with Jaden Daniels.
You, bro. I'm going to tell y'all what Jimmy wants. Keep it interesting there. If you want to do all that, I'm going to say where he going. And y'all never going to believe it.
Wow.
He might, he might be part of the old homie.
Wow. That's what you want to do? That's what you want to do? Okay.
Okay. He might be partners with his old homie.
I don't know what you're talking about.
I'll let y'all guess.
So basically, Malik Nabers is saying Jaden Daniels might partner up in Vegas with his old homie, who is Brandon Ayuk from Arizona State.
Or it's Antonio Pierce. Who
or it's Antonio Pierce.
Has a lot of connections.
They're all old homies. They're all old homies, really.
Would you call a coach a homie, though?
Right.
No, they were. I mean, but they were homies from all intents and purposes. Like, he helped recruit him over there. He was a big, like, he wasn't the head coach at ASU. Mm-hmm. Like, I believe he was just, like, on staff. I don't know if he was, like, a linebacker coach or something. But it seemed to me like that relationship was a lot more buddy-buddy than, you know, head coach to player.
Like Mike Brown-esque.
Yeah, probably.
Similar to that. But let's just play the game.
Okay.
I don't even know.
First off, I just want to say, I think he's talking about Antonio Pierce and not talking about Brandon Ayuk.
Okay.
I think Niner fans attached Brandon Ayuk as the old homie, but I don't think he doesn't ever say in there, like, Vegas or B.I. or, like, it's left up to open interpretation of old homie. It could be B.I. because of the ASU connection, but my brain immediately went to, because I'm not thinking Niners all the time.
Yeah.
My brain went to Antonio Pierce, who he has the relationship at ASU.
Well, it makes more sense.
It could literally be either.
There's no way. Yeah. And first,
I mean, he's not going to San Francisco.
The Raiders, the Raiders have Devontae Adams, so I don't even know how they would add.
It doesn't make sense.
Brandon Ayuk, because they're going to have to use trades to get up to get Jaden Daniels. So there's no way they would get their hands on Brandon Ayuk. And these are two guys. Just kind of having a good time on Instagram Live. This isn't, you know, an NFL breakdown. So let's just focus to that point, Chris, on Jaden Daniels going to the Raiders. And there are rumors that the Raiders are going to go up. I mean, they have to, right? I mean, you cannot roll out after everything these fans, they've been through multiple relocations, all that for Gardner Minshew in that division.
Sure.
With Harbaugh now, with the Chargers, and obviously the Chiefs. I don't know what the heck the Broncos are doing, but I just don't think you can roll out Gardner Minshew without at least drafting a dude.
Well, I will tell you that the Raiders are going to have to get in line, pal, because there's another team who needs a quarterback as well, and they're rolling out Sam Darnold as their starter at the moment, and they at least have two first-round picks. So if the Raiders are going to want to move up to get a Jaden Daniels...
But you might be good with Sam, though. That's assuming the Vikings are going to make a move.
It's not an assumption. It's going to happen. It's 100% going to happen.
Yeah, I report now, whether when it's done.
I know.
Okay. Sure.
I feel like it's still... I don't know.
Here's a good one.
It's just what?
Who's viewed higher right now? Gardner Minshew or Sam Darnold?
Gardner Minshew.
Gardner.
I'm
going to take. I think Gardner's way more proven.
Yeah.
I never got the Gardner hate. Like, I
there is no hate. He's just a backup quarterback.
I feel like he never got a true shot at being a starter.
I thought when he was in Philly, if Jalen Hurts didn't get off to a hot start, I thought it was very possible that.
Yeah.
There could have been some conversations, but then Jalen Hurts has a ridiculous season. If Gardner Minshew, let's say that season, the Super Bowl season, never happens. If Jalen Hurts has last season and Gardner Minshew's the backup, there's probably some conversations in Philly.
Sure. Yeah.
But
was Trevor Lawrence the direct replacement for Gardner Minshew?
I believe so.
Or was it the year before?
No, I believe it went Minshew and then Lawrence. And I could be wrong.
That was
from
Nick Foles getting the bag to the Jags, and then turning back into Nick Foles.
Right, I forgot about that.
And then they got him.
Well, then Urban Meyer came in. That was the worst coach of all time, Urban Meyer.
He's definitely top five.
He's my least favorite.
Nate, I know this one will keep you in a good mood. Dante Whitner.
Well, we got a good break.
No. Play the audio.
Okay. Well, Dante Whitner, I don't condone everything this man says. So let's take a listen, huh?
And when we think about the Super Bowl as well, I think that the 49ers played against the refs as well, guys. I think that when we look at that film and you see bear hugs on those defensive ends, right?
Wow.
And you really see it in blatant moments in the game. The 49ers played against Taylor Swift, the refs, and the Kansas City Chiefs.
Dante.
All three.
Dante, you really, I don't think you were going to, that was not ready for that little addition to that. Okay, that's, I'll let you say that. I'm not going to question that.
She should, because she's the host, right?
She's like, I'm just going to let you say that, I'll let the internet do what it does.
Is he maybe joking?
No, I don't think so.
I think this is an important time to remind everyone he works for NBC Sports Bay Area.
Isn't he the one that said Dak is garbage?
Yes, on
and everybody got on him. Yeah.
Yes, which he shouldn't have said.
He definitely
he shouldn't have said that. He was hyped on the Niners win. He's letting too much emotion come through. Mm-hmm. You can't say, dude, he was playing against Taylor Swift. Like, it's just like you can't play it against Taylor Swift. I get what he's saying.
Watch the first quarter again. That's what I would say.
It's tough.
Rough. It's just because they call you 40 whiners. That's what they call you. Yep. And now they're saying Dante Whitner. I thought it was Dante Whiner.
Yeah.
Just let it go.
Yeah, he's got
just
it.
Like Frozen. Let it go.
Yeah.
You can't keep doing that.
It's the and you know, I've been through it three times as we've been through on this show. it's the stages of grief.
Yeah,
and you're in denial?
Homeboy is still in denial. Yeah.
And even came out, and that was from Up and Adams, Kay Adams, who I guess is just the biggest Niner fan.
Has the worst pants you've ever seen.
I forgot.
Throw that to the Super Bowl.
I think you're going to have to break that one down a little bit more.
I will, right now or after the break?
When we get back. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Sacktown Sports. Call or text at 916-339-1140.
All guests and callers join us from the Folsom Lake Honda hotline. Folsom Lake Honda, your one-stop Honda shop, 916-339-1140. And there is a little bit of an issue that's happening, Chris, in Major League Baseball. Really, people are trying to say it's because of the pitch clock. There have been a lot of arm injuries, elbow injuries going out on Tommy John. The list is starting to grow as far as guys that have had issues with their arms and not being able to throw. So it's been tough because the season has just started. So Shane Bieber needs Tommy John. He's an ace, obviously, for the Guardians. Spencer Strider, another great pitcher for the Braves, messed up his. Obviously, Shohei Ohtani, Jacob DeGrom, Robbie Ray, Shane McClanahan, Walker Buehler, Lucas Giolito, Dustin May, and now Framber Valdez on the Astros as well. And honestly, there are more names out there. So, I've been going back and forth with this with my buddies that I played with back at Temple and pitchers and the idea of it being because of the pitch clock and you're just throwing quicker. You're throwing faster and faster. And I'm saying, hey, guys, I'm not saying this. The Players Association, they put out a statement saying how they're worried about this. And it's been tough because a lot of guys are weighing in. My buddies were saying, I don't think it's pitch clock. I think it's just kind of the way people are throwing now and things like that. And this is a really interesting thought from Justin Verlander, who's been around the block for a while.
A couple times.
And this is what Justin Verlander had to say about the situation. Nate, we got that? The Justin Verlander?
I don't know, man. It's tough. I think the game has changed a lot. I think it'd be easy to sit here and blame the pitch clock. I think in reality, you put everything together and everything has a little bit of influence. I think the biggest thing is that the style of pitching has changed so much. Everybody's throwing as hard as they possibly can and spinning the ball as hard as they possibly can. And, it's hard to deny those results, obviously. It's a double-edged sword. How can you tell somebody to go out there and not do that when they're capable of throwing 100? And this young guy comes up and throws a pitch 95 and gives up a big homer, and everybody's like, "What the hell, man?" So something needs to change. I don't have all the answers. I know pitching. I've been I don't want to beat a dead horse here. It is what it is. I think the data's out there at this point. But when the balls started to change back in 2016 and they started flying out a bit more frequently, I know myself personally that started changing how I had to approach pitching. You have to start swinging. You have to start approaching the batter as I want swing and miss. I can't have him put the ball in play, where the old adage, pitch down, pitch away from the guy, hit your spot, get a weak, you know, get weak contact early in the count, and then you can kind of go up. And that kind of went out the window when everybody started being able to leave the yard, especially opposite field.
That's a lot there.
Yeah, can you explain that to me? I mean, I assume the 2016 ball thing that he's referring to is the juice balls, right?
The juice balls,
and
yeah.
So he's essentially saying because there's a higher likelihood, seemingly, or I guess maybe the numbers factually showed it, that the balls, if they are going to get hit, are have a higher likelihood of going out the yard or whatever, being put in play. We now have to approach it differently because of that fear, I guess. Like, yeah. You know, maybe fear is not the right
one,
word. But
the one thing that he missed, he not missed, but didn't necessarily break down as well, is it's the balls, but connected to that is the launch angle that I always joke to everybody about, because I've had a terrible launch angle, but it wasn't just me back in the day. That's just what it was.
Right.
When the launch angle started to heat up, really around the time I was done, I would say 2014, 2015, that's when guys aren't swinging. When I was playing, it was, you know, you get to two strikes, and they still do change up their swing. Some of them.
Sure.
Some of them don't. So it was, you get to two strikes, and now a guy is just trying to survive.
Sure.
It's a, touch, you know, maybe it's a base hit up the middle or something like that. These dudes, and that's why strikeouts are up. It's the three true outcomes: walk, strikeout, home run. Right. These dudes aren't changing anything.
Right.
So there's not the same amount of, there is weak contact, but hitters aren't okay with weak contact.
Right, you're not shortening up your swing.
No,
anymore.
I'd rather just swing out of my pants three times and maybe run into something, rather than choke up and let me slap the six hole or something like that. So that's what Verlander is talking about, along with the balls, because I mean, I'm looking at some of these dudes that are even coming out of college and they're my size, but they're swinging for the fences.
Yeah.
That just wasn't a thing. And Verlander, who I believe is older than I am,
he's
literally seeing this thing change. And to bring it back to basketball, it's the same as, honestly, the 3-point with the spacing and 3-point, things are changing. And now he's saying, all right, well, you know, guys that didn't feel like they had to give 110%, or that just you never had to, because let me hit my spot, let me whatever, and get some weak contact, because this guy isn't trying to hit a home run. But everybody's trying to do it on every single pitch.
Yeah.
And if you give up a home run, it's a terrible look.
Can you maybe speak to as well, like, what he's talking about when he says the way that that guys are throwing? Is he referring to, like, instead of just throwing as fast as you can, now it's about and all that
exactly. stuff? Exactly. It's the spin rate. Everything is just max effort. And I do, it's probably in most things in life, it's a little bit of both. It's probably some of the pitch clock, but also it's max effort every single time. Every single time, it's the hardest curveball you've thrown. It's the hardest slider you've thrown. And it's just happening over and over again because there's no leeway. These guys aren't, it doesn't, when you get past, okay, cool, maybe in their mind, after the 3, 4, 5 hitters, I don't have to go max effort here, because you got the 6 hitter, the 7 hitter, the 8 hitter, the little 9 hitter, or even the top of the order. Now, with everybody swinging out of their shoes, there's no relief, and the pitchers don't have any relief.
Yeah.
So they're just throwing the hardest they can every single pitch. And he's saying it's probably, he didn't say it wasn't the pitch clock, but he's like, at the same time, these dudes are maxing out.
Yeah.
It used to be the closer. That's why a closer, it's okay for a closer to max out, because he's pitching for 3 outs, right? You're not supposed to be doing that as a starter or a reliever when you're going more than 5 innings or something like that, and that's what guys are doing now.
So go ahead, Nate.
I'm sorry. I just need some clarity, too. Talking about the juice balls, the humidor, that's not what they're talking about, right? Like, that's a separate – that was post-2016, right?
I think it's all similar. I know the balls have been wound tighter as well.
So the game, essentially, this is what sparked my question too, the NBA comparison. The game is changing, and they want rule changes to follow with the game changing, essentially, is kind of how
the game is changing. And they're trying to make.
But the rules are staying the same, and they it's no, not working. I don't think
it's changing rules. It's not necessarily the rules he's talking. It's the process of how these guys are being taught.
Yeah,
to
Verlander
pitch.
Isn't really talking about the pitch clock.
Yeah, right.
He's saying that pitch
it's more
clock
of a systemic
not,
problem. Yes, of what yes. how we're bringing up the pitchers or telling them. How
and
to
even
pitch.
This goes before yeah. you even get to the big leagues. Yeah. This thing is in absolutely. College because yeah. the launch angle is everywhere now.
I mean, I'm sure
so
it starts
it's high
in
school.
Little league.
Yeah.
yeah,
high school,
the
college.
Second you start playing.
So MLB switched balls in 2016, right? Mm-hmm. To what was it like a formal thing? Was it? Was
I don't
it,
believe so.
Yeah, it was kind of an under the radar move,
it's
right?
It's like that these free throws that's happening in the NBA. It's an unspoken yeah. thing that people are just kind of noticing and being like,
but
something
like,
seems wrong here.
Yeah, with the ball though, it's with the baseball, it's different than free throws because free throws seem like mental. I don't know. I don't know what the difference is, but the humidor thing makes me think just they want home runs. That's all they want.
Yeah, this is back from. This is back from 2016, and the humidor, that was, I believe, 2022.
Yeah, that was more recent.
Yeah, and this is from ESPN, MLB home run explosion of 2016, are juiced baseballs to blame? The day before the All-Star game, Max Scherzer was in a good mood. He talked about University of Missouri football, blah, 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 blah. I'm not going to throw that stone and make accusations, he said, with his agitation showing, but it would be interesting to see what Major League Baseball says. Do they have any opinions or thoughts or reasons? You don't see year-to-year jumps like this. Eventually, everything stays within itself unless something drastic happens, like moving the fences in around the league, and that didn't happen. So it's a conspiracy theory, but it is, but it isn't. It's mm-hmm. just like a lot of things in baseball. It doesn't it leaves a lot to be desired in terms of the explanation, but the numbers don't lie.
Right.
I think it's the balls. I think it's how people are swinging. Everybody is swinging for the fences, but people are trying to now. It's just the adjustment to the adjustment to the adjustment, and now you're seeing a bunch of players and pitchers get injured, and at the same time, the Players Association is saying, "Hey, this pitch clock. There might be something right. to this." They're not going to say. Oh, well, at least the hitters in the Players Association, they're not going to say, hey, change the balls back, right, or whatever, or, hey, we won't swing for the fences anymore, because home runs get you paid.
Sure do.
That's exactly how it goes. When we return, a little bit of crosstalk with the Drive Guys. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Local.
This is Sacktown Sports.
Joined by Whitey Gleason of the Drive Guys. Yeah, we were talking during the break after we heard from Justin Verlander. Yeah, the no more stick'em, which the stick'em did some of the work there because you got better grip, and now with no stick'em, you're really having to just torque that elbow. And whenever you're throwing a slider or anything like that, and it just can't be helped. You know, and you probably already know this, Whitey, you know the difference between, because my wife played softball, and, you know, when I first started really watching, because we'll watch college softball, by the way, great
incredible.
Watch.
Oklahoma
great
especially.
Watch. Just if I may, I just want to make sure we're not going down this road, because a little while ago I heard you say something about swinging out of your pants, and I don't want to have anything to do with that.
I will. If I get a 3-1 cookie, I'm swinging out of my pants
every single
time. And I'd be watching, and the pitchers in softball, they're pitching two seven-inning games straight. And I'm thinking,
underhand.
What's going on here? And then, you know, after speaking, doing some research, underhand is a more natural way.
Oh, yeah.
So you can go much longer. So the idea of throwing over the top is already not good for you.
It's really unnatural and bad.
And these guys are getting bigger and stronger and throwing harder and afraid of home runs. It's crazy. It's crazy. So hopefully we don't see any more injuries. I know guys are dropping like flies.
I bet we will.
We probably will. And that's like at the beginning of the season. You know, when I did my Achilles, the physical therapist said a lot of times what you'll see is the ACLs and Achilles earlier in the season, and then they'll kind of subside because – It depends on how guys were training, and then they'll kind of subside. And then you might see more later in the season, just like you saw with Greenlaw. And at that first couple weeks, we saw Aaron Rodgers. We saw some another running back, guys like that. So maybe it's something to where we'll see less of this once we get deeper into the baseball season.
Well, speaking of all those injuries and ligaments and things, and what do you think of Malik? Are we going to see Malik? Is he going to be back?
That's what they're trying to say. MCL. Second, they said if they lose the first, which is a weird way to word it because it would just be the first round. But I think we read if they lost, I think it's just earliest he'd be available. If they lost the first 7-8 game, he may be available.
For the second play-in if it came to that. Wow.
Or the way I like to put it, he'd be available for the first round of the playoffs.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know about you guys. I thought people kind of overreacted to last night.
I was just about to ask you.
Really good team. And Whitey, I know you had a 20-point lead.
Come on.
But we talked a lot about the roster being a little challenged. Then you lose two of your rotational players. And then, they blew a 20-point lead. It's the NBA. And but that's Whitey, a really good team, and it's in their building.
It's too many it's too many close to each other. We just got over the Knicks game. And now they do it again.
That's what they are. That's what they're telling us. I understand it disappoints people, but how can you be surprised? Especially when they're shooting.
I'm not surprised.
And you're shooting a lot of threes, and that's a formula for letting another team back. It just is, but I guess that's their what did he call it? The formula for success. When you deviate from the formula for success, you're asking for trouble.
But how much
I'm still trying to figure
out
what that formula is.
But how much do they actually deviate? They shot, is it the different type? This is what Chris and I were talking about. Was it different types of threes and they weren't necessarily spray threes? I don't know, man. And I know you're going to break it all down. You're going to break it all down on your show, Whitey. But the question to me is when we take so many texts and calls about stop chucking up the threes, and we had on Brendan and Frankie just as far as switching it up. Do you think this team has the ability to have a counterpunch, but without Malik Monk? They barely had a counterpunch with Malik Monk. He was the counterpunch, right?
Yeah.
So without him, it's a bunch of role players that are you're playing hot potato and De'Aaron Fox, obviously, and Sabonis, but you're just gonna play hot potato until somebody feels confident enough to take a three.
Yeah. To me, they're running an offense that's designed for a really, really, really good shooting team, and they're
average, they're pretty good. 16th in the NBA in
percentage. So it's like that to me is a thing where I go, you're surprised the shot's not going in. Every night's like, oh, we're a good shooting team. They're not going in. Well, I just had the last game and the game before that.
We did the laser beam with the free throw. Let's do the laser beam, fate of the world. You need a three-pointer from the Kings. I really never thought about this before. Who's taking that shot? Who are you choosing?
I'm having Keegan take it.
Okay.
I don't even know who would be the second.
Mr. Vazenka. He's shooting like 380 something.
Yeah.
I don't know who I would pick. Probably I would pick Keegan. I'd pick Keegan.
I would not pick Keegan.
I mean, he just hasn't been in those situations.
You'd pick Sasha?
Is it just one shot? Yeah.
One shot.
He's got a higher percentage.
Whitey, you're not picking
Trey Lyles.
You're
Keegan's
not
like, what is Keegan at now? 30?
This season, probably 35% if I had to guess.
Yeah.
You're not picking Sasha.
Well, why not? He's a better three-point shooter. That's why I don't understand, and there must be a reason, why he's not playing more when they're shooting all these threes. Mm-hmm. And
yes, like yesterday.
Yeah, but I'm sure there's something with, in practice, he's not defending or something, but it is a little puzzling.
It's very strange.
Yeah.
Whitey, I'm curious, what do you think? I mean, a lot of people are really upset about the volume of threes, the 58 threes, I think it was, 56 or 58 threes last night, which is a franchise high. I mean, how much of that is, the variance that they kind of need to play with now that Malik isn't there? You're missing pretty much 25 points per game when you factor in Malik's points and his assists. Do you think it's just that, or is it a combination of that and they don't really have guys who are good at driving and attacking the rim?
Yeah, I would think it's a combination of those things. I've been following this all year. We all have, but I've really been looking at the three-point numbers because I believe it was stated at one point, maybe Jay Triano said, we want to shoot 40 a game. And right around the All-Star break, they were under that.
Significantly.
And then all of a sudden, they started getting back to that. And then to the point you just made, Malik goes out. And since he's gone out, they shoot 42, 45.
47
yeah,
in the game 49. Right now.
Yeah, yeah, it's incredible. So somebody must feel like, without Malik, that's our best chance to compensate for that missing offense is to shoot more threes. They just, you know, when they're not going in and you continue to shoot them, you can't blame people for looking at that and going, what are you doing?
And if you flip this to the other team, like last night, right, you're doing it. If you're even a fan of OKC.
OKC, by the way, number one in the league in three-point percentage.
They take smart threes.
They don't take that many. I think they're like 16th in attempts or something.
Yeah.
They're kind of almost the opposite of the Kings.
There was a large period where they had like six guys shooting over 40% for them too.
They are the most mature young team I think we've seen in a very long time. But let's pretend that we're doing Thunder Radio.
Okay.
Right? And
that was my thunder sword.
That's outstanding.
Thunder radio.
No more thunder. I'm ready for the good weather, especially. I guess it's coming back next week, but we'll talk
about it. I can't tell Jalen Williams from Jalen Williams.
Enough. I'm so, you know what? I'm just glad we don't have to deal with those corny jokes. But if you're Thunder Radio, if you're a Thunder fan and the game starts yesterday,
yeah,
and you see guys that you probably have to look up in Keon Ellis and Davion Mitchell just going off, are you worried at all? Because I feel like whether it's the Knicks or the Thunder, they're probably just not worried. They're just thinking there's no way they're going to keep shooting like this.
Because
when guys do it on the other end against the Kings, I know the Kings have had some crazy games, but in total, when guys come out hot that you don't really know who they are, whatever, we're thinking there's no way they can keep doing this. And most of the time, they don't keep doing it.
I know. And although last night, as you guys probably discussed, the Warriors actually did keep doing it last night.
That was the most threes they hit.
That's the highest percentage for a team shooting 40 ever.
Yeah.
They kept going in. But by and large, they don't. By the way, this may be a little esoteric. I think if the Kings were the Thunder, like if we were all, and we're talking about the Thunder every day, and they were the Kings, I think fans would be going nuts around here about that Josh Giddey. I can't stand it. He can't shoot, and he can't guard anybody.
Don't get me started.
Yeah. By the way, Kevin Harlan, did you hear the call last night when Draymond made his fifth three in a row?
Yes.
And he says, Draymond Green is a flamethrower. Words I thought I'd never say.
Yeah.
That was outstanding.
Uh-huh.
That was outstanding. I'm talking to Chris. You stay out of that 9-10. I don't want to see him.
I'm with you.
I don't want to see him.
And bless you today for confessing that you tried to stir up some, hey, Draymond would be good here talking.
I don't know what you're talking about.
No, you did it.
Yeah,
and today
did.
you said I did try to do that.
Try it.
I applaud you for admitting that.
Hey, man.
There you go. Thank you
for
listening.
I still think it would have been a good idea.
Yeah.
Russell Westbrook missed offseason.
Styles and Watkins. Russell's been going off. Styles and Watkins, thank you for listening. We will be back tomorrow. Until then, you have the Drive guys, Whitey Gleason, Kyle Draper, our guy Jay. Secure the bag, light the beam.